of men going round taking names.
You're listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Werenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
I'm Peter Lewis.
And today our guest is KRCU's very own Jason Brown, host of Left of the Dial.
Thanks very much for having me. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming on. We're happy to have you here. So today we're going to be talking about Logan, Hugh Jackman's ninth and expected to be final film playing the character Wolverine. So this was a film distributed by 20th Century Fox, just came out, you know, so it's a fresh film. So I think to get things started, we should just kind of do a rapid fire, you know, kind of recap of what we personally thought of the film. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right, perfect. Peter, go ahead and get us started.
I'm just going to flat out say I love this film. And that's coming from someone who was never a fan of the X-Men franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really much care about the first three. I know no one likes Origins. But I loved Wolverine. I loved Days of Futures Past and First Class. This was exceptional, especially for just how true it was to the R rating.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, I myself really enjoyed it, and I just couldn't recommend it more to anyone. And whether you like superheroes or not, this isn't really a superhero movie in my mind. It's truly a gritty drama, and it's standalone as well. You know, you mentioned that this is the 10th X-Men movie. You don't have to have seen any of the other movies or really know anything about the franchise. It's truly just a standalone story. When it starts, you know what's happening, and as it moves along, you care about the characters, and it's just good storytelling. So, highly recommended, and again, if you don't think you like X-Men or comic books or anything like that, this still might be a movie that you can enjoy.
I completely agree. I'm kind of in Peter's boat when he, you know, kind of said he hasn't always been the biggest X-Men fan. I could kind of agree with that, or I haven't really always followed X-Men, but I love this film as well. It seems like all three of us really enjoyed it. Kind of like what Jason said, it's a very gritty film. It's a word I use all the time in this podcast. It was very raw. It was beautifully shot. The acting was incredible from, you know, the veterans of acting, as well as the kids, the new characters that were introduced. Incredible performance from everyone throughout the movie. So just before we get into an analysis and a formal review of the film, we just do want to let you know that there are going to be a lot of spoilers throughout this podcast. We're going to essentially give away the entire plot of the film and kind of how it unfolds. So, Peter, do you want to give us a little recap of the plot of the film?
Certainly. So basically, it's set in 2029, I believe it's said. The mutants are all but extinct. They never specifically give the reason, unless I completely missed it. But that's basically the thing. It's Wolverine and Xavier. They're albino. They're basically the last X-Men mutants. Sorry, that we're aware of. And it's basically just, you know, the goal for Logan is to initially just to get a boat to get Professor X away from, you know, it all, because, you know, his brain basically has Alzheimer's, and, you know, his power is, you know, he can do all sorts of things with his head. So, you know, that's basically a very dangerous thing to have.
His brain is considered a weapon of mass destruction by the U.S. government under these conditions.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically, that's where it starts. But then we get this kid who turns out to be X-23 in the comics, is basically, I guess, the female Wolverine, but it's not really a mutant.
She's the genetic daughter of Wolverine, and I think they refer to her as a clone, and someone with more knowledge of genetics and science would have to explain to me how you can have a clone of a male that is female. But as I understand it, she is a female clone of Wolverine.
Yep.
And just to clarify, this character's name is Laura in the film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically from there, it's just the goal is Logan, the person who was saving her, because they helped her escape from a facility that was trying to, you know, basically recreate what mutants were for, you know, their own personal gain. She wants her to get to this place called Eden, which I was immediately like, again, I'm not the biggest X-Men expert in the world. I was like, did I just completely miss some lore?
Wasn't in my database. granted, mine is limited as well, but no. Eden was invented for this movie, as I understand.
Which is which we'll get to, how they play with the, because there are actual X-Men comics, physical X-Men comics in the film, created for the film, just to like really push the lore of this universe. And basically that's the goal, to get her there. And, you know, just along the way, it's just basically, it's a story of Logan not necessarily growing up, because, I mean, you can't have the ninth film with this character and say he's growing up. It's more like all the mistakes he's made as a person in the idea of the franchise just, like, coming together and him having, like, really just accept it and try to fix it as best he can.
Yeah, I think you make an interesting point about the you mentioned the comics that are in the film. From, like, an acting standpoint, it in a sense, it kind of breaks the fourth wall, and it's a very interesting take on it because not only is he living and existing in this world, but he's living and existing in a world where, you know, he himself, Wolverine, is a comic book hero to the common people. So I thought that was a really kind of neat thing, and I particularly enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, and well, to that end, I even wonder, Peter, you could well recall this. Do other X-Men films have X-Men comics in there that people are looking at?
Not that I can remember. Even in Apocalypse, the newer ones, Apocalypse, Days of Futures Past, Wolverine, I don't think they did that.
It's an interesting thing, and, mm-hmm. and perhaps it was like breaking the fourth wall. Maybe it was a little bit jarring, you know.
But it worked.
Yeah, it did work, and I saw those books, and I'm like, I don't recognize those books. I'm going to have to find those books and read them, and after the movie, I start digging into it, and I figure out that those books were made just for the movie,
for the film.
They're not actual X-Men comics.
But it was great attention to detail, because they definitely looked like something from the 80s, from what I've seen with the art styles of that era in X-Men. I mean, I was actually convinced, like, did I just completely miss this whole Eden storyline, this and all these stories?
Yeah, I was completely convinced as well. I guess we can transition into kind of the big spoilers of the film. So, as we mentioned at the beginning, this is expected to be Hugh Jackman's last film playing the character of Wolverine.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. We have some deaths in the film. So, Jason, you want to talk about the very sad and graphic deaths that we have in this movie?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you mentioned, there are basically three legacy protagonists between Logan, who is older at this point, of course, Professor Xavier, and he has Alzheimer's, like you said. Logan is sick at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and we find out it's adamantium poisoning, yeah. and basically it seems to treat his body as if cancer would. So, yeah. again, another very heavy theme. And, of course, Caliban, that's the guy who can track mutants as one of his special abilities. And like you said, there are deaths in the film. Spoiler alert. Those three men are not with us by the end of the movie.
Yeah. And they were the deaths were beautifully done. So this is something that Peter and I talked about as soon as we left the film. You know, Hollywood nowadays, and I know we use the phrase Hollywood so often, it's kind of cliche, but Hollywood can cop out in so many ways nowadays when it comes to killing major characters. And I don't think they copped out at all when killing either of these three main characters. As beautifully done as a death can be. I thought it was beautifully done. It was shot very well. And the way that they did die, it worked for me. I believed it.
Yeah, and you know, particularly Logan himself, yeah. I would say, you know, he died with his hand in his daughter's hand, basically,
yeah.
you know? And especially, you know, when they buried him, they had a makeshift cross, mm-hmm. you know, set up there. And before Laura, the X-Men clone, leaves, she tilts that cross and makes it an X.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought that was, it was such a beautiful moment, you know, and not to get too heavy handed about this, but it's like, you know, especially when you talk about religious imagery, that's important when
yeah.
you put someone in the ground, you know, their religious symbol frequently accompanies
yeah.
their resting place in that sense. And it's like, she was acknowledging, no, this isn't a Christian man, just to put it
yeah.
bluntly, but this is an X-Man, you know,
yeah.
this is what his life was about. This is who he was.
Yeah.
I, like I said, not to get too heavy handed about it or whatever, but I thought it was kind of beautiful in that sense.
Yeah. When she tilted it, it gave me goosebumps without a doubt. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. That was a good call on the director of the film.
It was definitely a beautiful shot. I mean, the music was right on point. The zoom in was great.
Yeah.
But as Jason said, you know, about the idea of, like, this is an X-Men. He's not, you know, Christian, Jewish, all that. That's something that, you know, they've always tried to, something they've always alluded to in the franchise. And for it to just, like, finally come at the end in just that great shot, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll say all these deaths had very good purpose. You know, of course, Caliban's death was redemption. Patrick Stewart, Professor Xavier. At least I didn't say Captain Picard.
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah. There was the basically just his storyline, you know, he wanted to have that one last moment of, you know, feeling family because, you know, this takes place a pretty long time after the events of Days of Futures Past ended, for sure. So, again, he probably hasn't felt that in a long time. And just, you know, Wolverine, Logan's death, you know, him finally doing what he kept saying in the film he couldn't do, be a father, be heroic, yeah, one last time. It's just, it's poetic in a lot of ways, how it ends.
I agree.
And, you know, it's kind of tragic because Laura, the daughter, she's like an 11-year-old girl or something, a very young girl. She's every bit as capable as Wolverine. And indeed, the body count that she has under her belt is just what we saw alone in that film is tremendous. And there's a real tragic and moving moment where Logan and Laura are talking about this, mm-hmm, and you know, coming to terms with being a killer, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what she is. She's got those deaths under her belt. That's, yeah, something she's going to carry for the rest of her life. And I think Logan understands that's a heavy burden to carry. And, yeah, I think he knows that his daughter is going to have to come to terms with that one day.
I agree. And not to stray too far off the path, but I do have to ask you guys, because I felt this way, I don't know if you did. Did anyone else get Eleven vibes, like Stranger Things vibes?
Oh my God, yes.
I as soon as I saw this, yeah, saw Laura, I'm like, okay, I'm getting some Stranger, yeah, Things vibes to, oh, this, yeah, entire thing.
Which is interesting because Eleven in Stranger Things, like you said, we're not to take too much of a meander.
Exactly.
I mean, she's basically Jean Grey in, yeah, terms of her power set. So a lot of X-Men connections.
Without
between,
a doubt.
You know, a lot of connections between X-Men and Stranger Things, yeah, anyway. But yeah, I mean, really awesome kids are in right now.
Oh,
and I think,
gosh,
it's great, you know?
It's so cool because I know when I was younger, the kids that were doing a lot of superhero movies were like Shark Boy and Lava Girl, and those were just cheesy.
Right.
Those are incredibly cheesy. But now, and it's not that kids couldn't act then, I mean, obviously, but the kids that they have playing superheroes now are incredibly talented.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is, yeah. I mean, I guess the craft is just,
yeah,
you know, improved over time.
Yeah. Especially when you're giving them Tarantino levels of just violence.
Oh my gosh,
with.
I know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, you know, like I have an 8-year-old daughter. I think she would enjoy X-23 quite a bit, but I mean, yeah, there's no way that I'm showing her this movie.
Oh, it is graphic. That's another thing Peter and I talked about when we left. As soon as we got in the car, Peter's like, that was some, you know, Tarantino level stuff right there.
That's like I said in the beginning, this was a actual R rating. This wasn't, you know, he uses the F word one too many times for, you know, the MPA to be like, okay, you have to be R now. His first line in the film when they're when the gang's like trying to take his hubcaps on his limit, he's just like, oh, says the F word. Like it sets it up perfectly with it. And he's, yeah, just swearing in front of his daughter yeah, the whole time.
It was powerful. It really was. And, you know, I think, you know, superhero movies and films like this that call for that kind of violence and action, I don't think it should be shortcutted or cut short, rather, in any way. And this film definitely didn't do that.
Well, and it's just an acknowledgement that, like, guys like me and guys like us and people like us like comic books and things, yeah, like that. And it's, you know, it's worth your time to make movies that are for us, you know.
Without
a doubt. I think it's great that there's comic book movies and superheroes and action movies for kids, but you know, we like it too. And going back to the R rating, I mean, yeah, it's violent and you know, there's a lot of language and things like that, but it's just a story that it's not necessarily for kids. Like I said, it's basically about a guy who basically has cancer, who's taking care of an older guy who basically, yeah, has Alzheimer's. They're on the run because they are the last of a certain kind of person. And in the case of Charles Xavier himself, is dangerous, you know,
yeah,
because of his Alzheimer's combined with his mental powers, with his,
yeah,
psychic powers. So it's really not the kind of story that is for Saturday morning cartoons.
You're,
you,
right,
know?
And, you know, I think you kind of make a very interesting point. If you were to take out the characters that we know from the past and take out this X-Men Wolverine storyline, I think it could have been a standalone film. Just the whole plot, if you take out, as I mentioned, all of the connections to films from the past and comics from the past, I think it could have been a very good standalone film as a whole.
I think the big thing I want to say is, you know, this is a film, a studio I should say, that realized in this franchise they had a character that worked better than the superhero that the character portrayed.
Yeah.
Because they don't really, this is not a superhero or the Wolverine we know. This is a man who used to be that and has just completely broken down,
yeah,
physically and emotionally. And that's the thing that they explore, which is great. Because, you know, they give him the antithesis of, you know, Professor Xavier, who's, you know, still trying to be full of life, even though he's got his own problems. And again, you have Logan, who's basically all but just given up and accepted what he's become.
Yeah.
And that's a thing I never thought I would see from a major superhero film.
Yeah, I agree. And let's just talk about the setting of the film. They chose some incredibly beautiful places to shoot the movie. And I think that at the beginning when I mentioned that it was beautifully shot, and I think this obviously added to that a lot. And, you know, the final fight scene, I don't know where it was. It looked like it could have been Yosemite. It looked like it could have been, you know, anywhere in the Pacific Northwest. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, I guess it was meant to be North Dakota. Is that where it was in the movie before they were one final trek to Canada after that,
exactly.
I guess, is where they were headed. Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, the Mexican scenes were really cool. You could tell that it paid homage to spaghetti westerns.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed, what was the movie that Charles was watching?
Shane.
Okay, yeah. Shane. And of course, that was an obvious, you know, reference point for the director, I'm sure, to what he was doing with this movie. So that was kind of a neat meta nod, you know, to everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the movie is essentially a Western in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also what I noticed recently, it's kind of like a lot of post-apocalypse vibes to it, even though, you know, it's the extinction of mutants that's more the apocalypse, but they shoot it on these just, you know, decrepit locations that are falling apart. And again, they have, like, the future technology as well. Just they're like, this is the future, but from the mutant standpoint, you know, this is the end for them as well.
Exactly. You're right. You know, I hadn't thought about that beforehand, but it really was like a big Western film. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the, obviously, other than the fact that Wolverine has, you know, blades coming out of his hands, you know, a lot of the fight scenes, especially the opening number, that's something straight out of a more modern Western film. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, Wolverine kind of is the ultimate outlaw cowboy, you know, and Hugh Jackman's portrayal in particular, I think, just fits in with that so well. Another thing, talking about where Logan is, you know, on this movie, I was talking to someone who, she wasn't really familiar with X-Men or Marvel or anything like that, and didn't know what the name Logan was.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's Wolverine, you know, that's Wolverine's name. And she's like, oh, is it an origin movie? And I'm like, no, it's not that. Actually, it's the opposite of that. And I thought, wow, this is a movie that's actually, it's not the origin story of a character. This is about the other side of a character's life, you know? It's about his final years.
The end of his life.
Yeah. And I can't really think of another, you know, major studio, major character film that did what's basically the opposite of an origin story here.
Yeah, you're right. Again, I mentioned Hollywood cop-outs earlier. It didn't cop out at all at the very end when it comes, obviously, you know, killing the main characters throughout the film. But the film ends sad. I mean, it's a sad ending. It's, in a way, uplifting, but it was definitely a sad ending. And I think I can respect that when a studio has the bravery to do something like that. I think that's very good filmmaking.
It's a fitting end for a generation of actors who just cannot be, you know, the role they played in 2000 again. But it's also paving the way for a new generation, and it does two things that usually films and franchises can't do: make you accept that what you knew before is over, and what's coming is worth your time. But this is a film that, you know, I think it's a satisfying end to the Wolverine character, and it gets me excited for, like, what they're doing now, because
I agree.
There's so many questions.
Something else I liked about this movie is it obviously showed the vulnerabilities in the major characters. It showed that they their weaknesses, which sometimes you don't always see that in superhero movies. But I think something else it did that I loved is it actually showed the power that these characters have. like Xavier, you know, when he would start to seize and it would essentially cripple the entire section of a city that he was, you know, he was in. I thought that was incredible. I mean, showing the like the sheer power of a character is something that I think is so awesome to watch.
And it's one of the cool things about the X-Men, honestly. I mean, they have powers that they were born with, and frequently they don't understand what's happening, but maybe sometime as an adolescent, something crazy happens, you know? And it's like, you know, like when you see Superman, he's in complete control of everything that he can do.
Yeah.
But the X-Men, not so much. And again, you know, Charles Xavier was very much in control of his very incredible power. But,
exactly.
He got old. Just like we all eventually
exactly.
will, right? And lose his control of his mental faculties, and it, that power becomes a liability real quick.
Yeah, and I think when you can reveal the vulnerabilities in characters like that, I think you can fall in love with them even more. Because
oh, yeah, they're relatable.
Exactly, they're relatable. It shows their human characteristics even though they're inhuman. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
It just adds to the tragedy of, you know, they're yes, they're in their years of death, basically, but they have it much harder than I think any human would, because you just have these things you can't even imagine going on that you never understood to begin with, these powers, and now they're just really starting to ruin you and everyone around you in the case of Professor Xavier.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I would say all in all, we give Logan two thumbs up. You agree?
Yes. Absolutely. All six claws up.
All six claws straight up, and then four from Laura. I guess two. She has one in each foot, too. So
she does,
she
yeah. She has
also has six.
Whew, don't cross her.
I will say, I mean, I was getting Terminator 2 Arnold Schwarzenegger vibes. Yeah. Just how she didn't talk, how just incredible she was in these actions. That was an incredible character for a 12-year-old child.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Oh, I'd look forward to seeing her come back. I hope they bring X-23 back, and
they have
it'll be
to.
Good stuff.
I mean, I
would
so
think
many,
so.
So many crowds are falling in love with the character now. They have to bring
just
her back.
Have her
and, you know, so I will say, in the comics right now, Wolverine is dead.
Yeah.
But X-23, she's a part of the X-Men team, so they're keeping Wolverine going that way in the comics right now.
So, this is an official prediction. Let me say that. There will be more. That's what we're going to think. Let's say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, let's
say they gave us the Deadpool 2 trailer to before the film. They gave us the bad version, though. The YouTube version with Stan Lee and St. Elmo's Fire was so much better.
It's iconic.
Yeah. So, and apparently...
I love Deadpool's iPod, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I need to take my iPod and just fill it up with the songs Deadpool would listen to. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, just channel your inner Deadpool. What's wrong with that?
Because Deadpool's supposed to introduce Cable, who's one of the founding members of X-Force.
X-Force, yeah.
Which is what they wanted to make. They were supposed to make Gambit last year, but that fell through. So, like I say, I don't know what Fox is doing, but there's definitely more coming. And, you know, you can't end with a bunch of kids with... mutant powers given to them.
Yeah, marching off into the sunset.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like, you just don't end it there.
Oh, yeah. There's some Hunger Games, Lord of the Flies stuff that's about to go down,
some of
I'm sure.
about to go down, and I think it's going to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
so,
excited to see it.
Watch out, Canada. Yeah. That's where those kids were heading.
Yeah, everybody in Canada, just be aware. They're coming your way. So, Jason Brown, thank you for coming on to the show
today. Thank you. This was awesome.
Fun. Yeah, it's fun. I'm sure we will have you back on the show at some point in time. No doubt about that. So, as always, folks, be sure to... You know, check us out on iTunes, the Google Play Store, as well as krcu.org. So, as always, for Real Talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.